You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal and Engineer Jim here in beautiful Henderson, Nevada. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And guys, I wish I had a little more enthusiasm in my voice. I wish I had a little bit more energy, but today was not a good day as your Las Vegas Raiders fall on the road 43-6. Yes, 43-6 to the Atlanta Falcons. And joining us today to at least help us try to make sense of what just happened is our pal from Fox 5 here in Las Vegas, Vince Sapienza. And Vince, it looked bad. It sounded bad. I can't really find much that went right today. So I'll just ask you this. Is it as bad as I think it was?
Yeah, I really do believe it was. I mean, the highlight of the day is really Derek Carrier getting a partial punt, to open the third quarter. And you think, okay, the Raiders are going to turn things around. And then Derek Carr goes down and throws a pick six. Just uncharacteristic decisions made by Derek Carr today. There are plenty of guys wide open that you could see on the broadcast, which is not really the norm, because if there's a guy open, DC is usually able to hit it or at least get enough time to make someone get open. But you could see on the broadcast, there was guys open. DC just wasn't seeing it. Now, granted, the Falcons D-line was creating a lot of pressure for this Raiders O-line. And this is the first time we've really seen the Raiders offensive line look like a banged-up offensive line. They've been valiantly, keeping DC clean and all that stuff. And they've been the talk of the season in terms of being able to, do that next-man-up mentality. But today was the first day that they just looked out of place. They looked at in a different league, and it showed on the scoreboard.
I mean, there's so many things that essentially went wrong today for this team, right? I mean, I was kind of half joking about it, but it really is hard to find kind of any positives coming out of this. But I think that what was so confusing to me is obviously the score got away from the team in a huge way. I mean, they lose 43-6. That doesn't happen on accident. But I really felt like through the first quarter especially, and really at the end of the first half, this defense did what they were asked to do. This defense kept the team in the game, but the offense just couldn't get rolling. And when I look at it, Vince, I'm looking at the numbers right here. And at the end of the first half, this team had 6 rushing yards. The Silver and Black had 6 rushing yards. And that, I know that we've kind of seen throughout 2020 that the Raiders can win in different ways offensively. They can control the clock. They can run the ball. Derek can start, spreading the ball out and he can go crazy. But with this team and how they want to win games, Vince, when they're at their best, 6 rushing yards at the half is not going to get it done.
Yeah, and I think it goes back. The Falcons were coming into this a top 10 rushing defense, and we saw that on display. I thought it was interesting that, considering the Falcons were a bottom feeder team in pass defense, that Gruden decided to try and establish the run out of the gate early as opposed to expose that Falcons secondary. And as we saw the snowball effect start in the first quarter, you had back-to-back offensive plays where you turn the ball over, a failed fourth down. You have to question the play calling on some of these plays. It's fourth and one. You got the I formation set, and you do a toss to Josh Jacobs against a top 10 rush defense as opposed to just going straight up the gut and getting that 1 yard. And then, DC, gets strip sacked for the first time, I believe it was in 11 quarters that, he's been taken down on a pass play. And you're right, the defense gave up 43 points, but if you think about it, it's really only 36 points because of that pick six. But, they gave up 30-plus points again, yet this was probably one of their better games, again, considering the bend not break and considering the poor field position that they had to deal with the entire 60-minute game. You're right. There's not a lot of positives to take out of this, but something that I think is very telling is that immediately after, one of the first things Derek Carr said in his post-game Zoom was they did not have a good practice this week. It was a substandard practice, and you can call that excuse. To me, I call it, a reason as to why they look the way they look. You practice the way you play, and if you have a bad week of practice, COVID or not, injuries or not, you're not going to play well. It doesn't matter who you're playing in the National Football League, a winless Jets next week or a 3-win Falcons team coming into this game on Sunday. If you have a bad week of practice and your mind isn't right and you're not focused, I mean, you're going to get embarrassed. And Greg Olsen even said it this week. If you don't prepare properly, any team can embarrass you. And they tried to prevent that as coaches, and they couldn't.
You know, and to me, Vince, you bring up a great point about the bad week of practice. And for me, it's yes. Like, you got to take – listen, Derek Carr knows more about football. He knows more about the pulse of this team than either of us will ever know. But I think for me, it's not so much the lack of crispness on the practice field, because let's look at the Falcons for a second. They had a single practice last week, and they dealt with all the same COVID stuff. They probably even more so than the Silver and Black, and they came out here and they put together a really good afternoon. To me, I think it goes back to the preparation. And I'm not here to say that, oh, Derek and Gruden didn't, you know, they weren't in sync, they didn't have things rocking. But at some point, you look, and the Falcons look like a team that were playing for their lives. And yes, realistically, the Falcons are probably out of the playoff picture, and that's no shot at them. That's just the reality of where they are. But they very much look like the aggressor today. They very much look like, hey, the team that we needed this game. Where in reality, the Raiders were the team that needed to come out. They needed to take care of business. And we were talking about it pregame, where I was telling the guys up in the booth at Allegiant, I said, look, if the Raiders are the type of team that we think they are in 2020, this is a game that you got to have. And as you said, this is a game where really you should handle it, I don't want to say with ease, but you're the better team from 1 to 53 and you need to come out and show it. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, that just wasn't the case. And the Falcons, 1 to 53 or 1 to 46, whatever technicality you want to use, they look like the better team today.
Yeah, and I want to, you know, take your point even a step further. I do believe this was a game they should have handled without a doubt. I do believe this was a game they should have dominated. If this is a Raiders team that's truly a playoff contender, a team that's taken the next step from a year ago, this is a game you had to have won. This was supposed to be a no-doubter. You were supposed to imprint your superiority on an inferior team. And instead, it was the opposite. They got embarrassed. They got blown out. And they looked like, you know, they looked like they were hungover from the Kansas City game. And you know, some of the players were asked about it after the game, and they downplayed it, say, you know, I don't think it was that. But, you know, there's a lot of this is a physical game, but even more so, it's mental. I mean, you go toe-to-toe with the Super Bowl champs. You're right there, 28 seconds left in the game, and you blow a coverage on defense, and your balloon just pops. I can see how that just trickles into the week. Again, I'm not making excuses because these are professional football players and they need to hit the reset button like professional athletes do. But I don't think it's a far-fetched notion to think that that game crept into, you know, a bit of a, I don't want to say a depression, but just like, you know, that was a gut punch late in that Kansas City game at home in front of the world to see. You know, they got their gut punched. They didn't have a good week of practice. It kind of all makes sense when you hear Derek Carr after the game say they weren't crisp. They weren't there. They weren't hitting the standard in terms of practice. You know, if that game crept into this game, I mean, that makes all the sense in the world to me. Again, not an excuse, but, you know, it is the reality of what the NFL and the highs and lows of what a season brings.
You know, and I'm curious for your kind of two cents on this one, Vince, is we're going to hear about it for the rest of the week, or I should say the entirety of this week, is that the Raiders were 6-4 last year. They go to New York. Essentially, they're humiliated, very similarly to what happened today, where the 2020 Raiders are 6-4. They travel east with a game where they can really kind of leave their imprint on the playoff picture, and they stub their toe in a monstrous way. Now, I think that the 2020 Raiders are a better version than the 2019 Raiders. I think they're a better football team. I think their ability to bounce back from a game like this is better than the team a year ago. But, I mean, at this point, the similarities are there. The parallels are there. We're going to hear about it. It's going to be written all week. And, Vince, how do you kind of stack up this team now, you know, after in the aftermath of what was really a terrible loss compared to the team a year ago in an identical position?
Oh, I think no doubt that, you know, this is the more embarrassing loss than the one a year ago. The Jets last year were a worse team than the Falcons were this year, but this loss is more embarrassing considering that the Raiders are a much better team than a year ago. They have much more talent. And, you know, we can talk about injuries. We can talk about the COVID. Look at around the league. Everyone is dealing with it. At some point, someone's going to hoist the Lombardi trophy, and all the other teams are going to be the ones pointing to COVID and other excuses. Everybody is dealing with this right now. And we've seen the Raiders plow through the adversity, get through those obstacles, and perform. So to me, that's no longer an excuse. We're at a point in the season where every team has gone through adversity. The Raiders have gone through a handful of it. Maybe it's, you know, Mount St. Helens in on them now, and it's all just kind of coming down on them right now in terms of the pressures and in terms of being able to do it on a consistent basis. But regardless, the talent of this team is still there. The Falcons didn't have Julio Jones. The Falcons didn't have Todd Gurley. I mean, this defense was a defense that should have been exposed in the secondary by Derek Carr, who's having maybe his best season of his career. Today, it didn't look like it. But again, this wasn't DC's fault. This wasn't just the offensive line's fault. I mean, this was a true combination of every facet of the game just not gelling. And I would say what's shocking is, you know, for the seventh time in 11 games, the Raiders have given up 30-plus points. Yet, this was not the defense's fault on this Sunday.
No, I mean, we were kind of discussing it during the game, and obviously we're, you know, we're sitting in Allegiant, and we, you know, we can read the tea leaves when the team's down by 30-something points in the fourth quarter. You know it's not going your way. And we were kind of just sitting amongst ourselves, and we go, I said, is it possible that you can say the defense played pretty okay giving up 43 points? And we were kind of debating it, and it's, you know, you don't want to say they played well, but they certainly played better than the 43 points indicated, right? Like, I'm not crazy there thinking that there were moments where this defense looked pretty solid. And like I said earlier, they kept this team in the game for that first half.
Yeah, I mean, you forget the garbage time yardage on the ground and things like that. The Raiders' defense held up on the ground game. There's no doubt about that. And they were creating pressure for Matt Ryan. Now, Matt Ryan was able to escape and you know, hit some of his guys, but when Damon Arnette goes down on the first play, and even though he came back for a few plays the next series, I mean, a spotter pulled him out because he didn't look right. So, I mean, that is your starting corner, rookie or not. That's your starting corner. And then Trayvon Mullen goes out for a bit, and then Jeff Heath has to go out for a few plays. I mean, Jonathan Abram is carrying that secondary, and he's not even, you know, a true pass defender as much as he is, you know, one of the leading tacklers on this team. So, Matt Ryan's a great quarterback. This offense the Falcons have is an air raid type offense, and they're going to gun it, and they're going to get their yardage. But when you look at the end stats, Matt Ryan only had 185 yards through the air, 4.7 yards average on 39 attempts, 75.3 quarterback rating. I mean, the Falcons offense didn't expose this Raiders defense by any means. The Raiders defense was the best facet of the game. It all goes back to the offense. They were never able to get in a rhythm. And the one thing that I thought was interesting that John Gruden said after the game was that after those back-to-back turnovers in the first quarter, the failed fourth down and then the fumble, was that his team was not able to respond and get off the mat. They weren't able to get punched in the chin, weren't able to respond. And you know, you can call that being tired, you can call that a lack of focus. I don't care what you want to call it. That's a problem. If your team cannot respond in the first quarter after a little bit of adversity, considering what they've gone to, that's why it's the biggest surprise. This team has gone through so much adversity, it was a big surprise to see them not respond. So I think that was the biggest problem that we saw today.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you look at Matt Ryan's line, and Matt Ryan's a future Hall of Famer, but like you said, 185 yards, 4.7 yards an attempt. He played well enough for them to win. Obviously, they put up 43 points. He played well enough for them to win. But this is not like the Patrick Mahomes games we've seen, you know, some of the Tom Brady games. I mean, he was efficient, make no doubt about it, but he is not the reason. This defense is not the reason why the Silver and Black fell. And Vince, kind of before we even move on a little bit, I think for me, when I look back at this game, I think the most disappointing thing, confusing thing, baffling thing, whatever, is that we now know what the Raiders' formula for winning is. It's controlling the line of scrimmage. It's running behind that offensive line. It's getting the run game going and then giving Derek the chance to kind of take his shots when he sees them. Now, I love the fact that we got Henry Ruggs III involved a little bit more. I really do. But we saw today that when they get thrown off that rhythm, when they're not able to do what they want to do on the ground, it feels like it really does stymie everything. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right now, Vince. The Raiders finished with a combined 40 yards on the ground. That is not, this is a team that has run for over 200 yards multiple times this year. And when you finish a game with 40 yards, it just felt like we know their identity, Vince. We know who they are. We know what they want to be. And today we didn't see any part of it for any portion of this game. And I know that being behind, you know, for so long is kind of takes that out of the arsenal a little bit. But I felt like there were times where they could have gotten the running game going, where they could have fed Josh and Devontae a little bit more. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't there against this Falcons team.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs getting seven carries is just not even close to enough. I mean, he was you know, part of the pass game a little bit with three catches, but it's not enough. He needs 20 to 25 touches a game. I mean, that's plain and simple. For this team to be effective, Josh Jacobs needs 20 to 25 touches every single game. And I know he was banged up coming in to this game a little bit, but you know, John Gruden always talks about what a champion this guy is and how tough he is, and he didn't look any worse for the wear today. But again, just everything about this team just seemed off. The focus seemed off. Josh Jacobs dropping the ball as many times as he did, putting that on the ground, is a problem. And I think, you know, it is interesting the way they got away from the run game, even in the second half. You know, they're down. What were they down? 16-3 at halftime. And the Raiders get the ball to start, and they go down the field, and Derek Carr is throwing on every single down. You know, it just seemed odd to me that they were mixing in play-action passes, but they were never running the ball. And then, you know, they settle for a field goal, and it's still a three-score game in that third quarter, which was interesting to me considering they were inside the five. You know, just little decisions here and there just had me scratching my head that I don't normally do with Gruden in this offense, specifically this season. You know, they've basically made a lot of really good decisions in terms of play calling, but today every little bit just seemed off. So you chalk it up, you look at the tape one time, you throw it out. You know, the NFL facilities are closed Monday and Tuesday. You see who's available to practice on Wednesday, and then you get ready for another East Coast trip in a game that, you know, you use must win a lot in this league. But I mean,
if you want to play postseason football, Vince, it is a must win next Sunday in New York or New Jersey.
But that's the other problem. That's what I felt today. You know, today was a must win to me if you want to be considered a playoff team, and they got embarrassed. And you know, you can just chalk it up to a bad day. You know, we all have them, right? But when you're a playoff team at this part of the season, you can't afford bad days.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely put up or shut up time, you know, no doubt for this team. And it's crazy too, Vince, where I'm looking at it right now, and Josh has seven attempts. And I feel like when this team is at its best, when this offense is really rolling, there's times where we've seen Josh get seven carries on a series. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And credit to the Falcons, no doubt, for taking away Josh, for taking away this running game, for doing enough to do, or for doing enough to come away with a win, a huge win for a team that's now, you know, I got to say, playing a pretty good brand of football. And man, I don't know. Like you said, definitely a big game next Sunday in New York, and we're gonna get into that and more. But before we do that, let's just hear a quick message from our friends at Allegiant.
Touchdown, Las Vegas.
Since starting Allegiant some 20 years ago, we've flown more than 100 million people to be with those they love. We're pilots, flight attendants, and technicians, but we're also parents, spouses, and neighbors. And just like you, we're excited to reconnect with the people and places that matter most. That's why we're going the distance for health and safety, on the ground and in the air. Because the further we go now, the safer it'll be to go farther tomorrow. Allegiant, the official airline of the Las Vegas Raiders. Low fares, nonstop flights, only at Allegiant.com.
And we're back with our pal Vince Sapienza from Fox 5 here in Vegas. And Vince, man, well, this was not good. This was not a fun day. This was a pretty bad day if you're a fan of the silver and black. But the beauty of the NFL, there's another week to play ball. And now, admittedly, Sunday's game against the New York Jets means a lot more than it did 6 hours ago. But Vince, is this really a must-win game for your 2020 Las Vegas Raiders coming up?
It is a must-win game if you have any intention of seeing the Raiders in the postseason. I mean, this is – I hate saying must-win games because, you know, every week is a must-win game. But if you want to be the guys who you think they are, I mean, this should be a no-doubt. Come out pissed off and just run it down their throats, run up the score, do what you got to do to feel good about yourself going into the final stretch of the season, because every game matters. And when you look around the league, especially this Sunday, and seeing that the AFC playoff teams continue to win and you lay a big old egg in a game that you should have had, there's no doubt that this Jets game is a must win.
You know, Vince, you're describing what I think we were hoping to see today: running the ball, running the score up, handling business. But I mean, you're right. I think that there's going to be, admittedly, over the next 48, 72 hours, there is going to be a lot of, oh, the sky is falling. What are, you know, we're looking at 2019. We're looking at a carbon copy of it, yada, yada, yada. And some of that's fair, right? I mean, you go out and you lose 43-6 in a game that you should have won. There, you know, that's going to be fair. Whatever is written, whatever is talked about, that is going to be fair for this team. But I would caution people just a little bit to remind everyone that, yes, this was bad. This was very not good. The Raiders shot themselves in the foot in a really, really big way. But you're going back. You're playing the Jets now. Now you look at these games. You look at the next couple games. We're going to have the Colts at home. You're going to have the Dolphins at home. You are very much going to be able to still, fingers crossed, essentially control your own destiny in this AFC playoff race. The thing that is gone now, though, Vince, is your margin for error. You had a slim margin for error entering today, and now that margin for error is essentially goodbye, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, if you're Raider Nation, you got to look at the big picture. It's hard to after a game like this, but you look at the big picture. The Raiders still control their destiny and can still get to where they want to go without any help. But it does make you a little more nervous than you thought you would be for next Sunday. You might have thought that you'd be waking up and, you know, just smelling the roses, getting ready to, you know, write up that dub for the Jets. Now you're a little bit more nervous after today. But it really goes back to what we said at the top. If you don't have a good week of practice, it doesn't matter who you are in this league, you'll get embarrassed. And the Falcons prove that with just one practice under their belt. So big week for the Raiders. You know, you hope they get healthy. They came out with a lot of injuries in this game. You worry about Josh Jacobs. You worry about Damon Arnett. You know, Trayvon Mullen had to be pulled out of that game. Jeff Heath had to be pulled out of that game. You saw
Denzel Good, I was going to mention him,
get helped out of that game. So, you know, you hope these next 2 days they can get their treatment, even though the facilities are closed. They get their treatment. You come back Wednesday. You see who's healthy, who's ready to rock. And then you get back on the plane, and you got to get back to Raider football.
Yeah, I mean, and let's not, you know, dance around. It's going to be a pretty rough couple days for the Silver and Black. No doubt about that. You mentioned the facilities are closed. You mentioned you're wallowing in this loss. You're trying to figure out what went wrong and how do we fix it. But as we said, everything that the team still wants is ahead. Everything that this team wants is still ahead of them. They're still going to be able to be a player in this AFC playoff picture. But the margin for error has admittedly gone from slim too minuscule. But before we get out of here, Vince, because look, we're going to try to end on a positive note. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to try. We're going to give it the old college try. We're going to crack a few ice cold Coors Lights. And Vince, I will go first. And look, man, you lost 43-6. There are not a lot of positives to find. I mean, thankfully, you know, you're on the plane now. You're heading home. You're going to have a chance to rest and recuperate. So in that sense, though, I'm going to crack a cold. I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit. It's my dad's birthday. I'm going to crack a cold one for him. He texted me this morning. He said, all I want for my birthday is a dominating Raiders win. And unfortunately, he did not get that.
Oh, man.
I know. I talked to him as I was leaving Allegiant, and he was like, I think he kind of summed it up very nicely. He goes, look, this was really, really bad. He goes, but you get another chance next week. And until you are officially eliminated from playoff contention, you always got something to play for. So happy birthday, Dad. I appreciate your positivity in a very dark few hours for the Silver and Black, but happy birthday to the old man. And I know you don't really drink, but I'll drink an ice cold Coors Light for you.
Happy birthday to the Pops. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a tough one, but you know, if I'm going to crack one, I got to crack one for Jonathan Abram, because I mean, his performance week in and week out, you know, he came in as a rookie with a lot of hype, and then he only plays, you know, a few minutes, couple snaps in his rookie year, and then he comes and he is a true difference maker for this Raiders team that is young, that is injured, that has a lot of new faces, and yet he is the consistent cornerstone of this defense. And I would just hate to think where this defense would be without him, considering that in 7 of the 11 games they've given up 30 plus points, and he's one of the premier safeties in the league. So in a game full of you know, bad performances, Jonathan Abram shined through the clouds, and so, you know, we'll crack one open for him.
You know, one thing, and you bring up a great point, Vince, and I think that Jonathan Abram is a great selection, all things considered, but I think there was a moment at the end of the game that'll probably get lost in the obvious score of today's action is that if you saw towards the end of the game, we saw Jonathan Abram comforting a very visibly upset Jonathan Hankins. And Jonathan Hankins is a key member of this team, a key member of this defensive line, a veteran leader on this team. And you saw young Jonathan Abram, now in his second year, kind of comforting him, you know, kind of giving him the pep talk. And I think that's important because you and I both know that if everything goes to plan, Jonathan Abram is a huge part of this defense, not this year, not next year, but for the next 5, 10, whatever you want years. And for him to kind of show that maturity, to take that next step. And I know it wasn't on the field, and I know that we're really looking for positives after what was a really horrendous day. But I think that moment there, Vince, kind of demonstrates who he is and what he can be for this defense going forward.
No, and I think that's a great point because, you know, even though, you know, it may sound like a simple thing, not a big deal to many, but this is something that did not exist a year ago after that Jets game, after that thumping at MetLife. That didn't happen. There was no one consoling each other. It was just a bunch of guys trying to figure out what went wrong. There's a lot of confidence on this team. If there's one thing that this team has, no matter who's in, who's out, it's confidence in, one, their talent level, one, two, their play, and three, their ability to come through adversity. And, you know, this is just another example of being able to do that. We'll see if they're able to do it next week. The only way to prove it is by playing and returning to the win column. But that's something that wasn't there, is leadership beyond a Derek Carr, is leadership on the defense from the young guys, guys that are impact guys that are going to be around this team for a while, that are the ones making a difference both on and off the field. And I think that's something that we're seeing this year on a consistent basis that we didn't see last year. And I think that's why Derek Carr has said so many times he feels this team is different, because it's not just him saying, hey, we can do it. It's a collective group saying, yeah, we can do it. And if there's one example I'd like to give, it's Isaiah Johnson. I mean, this kid has had, you know, the epitome of an up and down season. You look at this game, he got beat a few times. He got some penalties pulled on him, but he was the guy who tipped the ball that Abram got the pick. I mean, there's moments, there's constant fight in this team. That's why, you know, even though today didn't show it, I think there's fight in this team that we've seen throughout the season, which is why Raider Nation should be positive moving forward when the games continue to mean the most.
And with that, we're on to the Jets. So, Freddie Pascal, Engineer Jim, our guest this week and friend of the program, Vince Sapienza, and everyone else who at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And Raider Nation, you know what time it is. Please, please, please keep wearing your masks, washing your hands, making good decisions so we can all hang out together as one big Raider family sooner than later. And we will catch you guys next week, well, I guess technically this week, on Thursday, for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.